Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you'll see the passage of Scripture that we'll be discussing. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." John, the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Now, last week we learned about walking in the love of Jesus Christ. This week, I want to talk to you about walking in the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he was the light of the world, and that if we would follow him, we would be light, and that we would have the light of life. So I want us to think about this for a minute. Jesus wants us to be the light of the world, and he wants to lead us in his light. Now, it is amazing to me how different our perspective is when we are walking in the dark. I can't tell you how many times I have scouted out a spot to go deer hunting and in the daylight. And it was just this great spot that I thought, okay, there's going to be a lot of deer coming around here. So I put up a tree stand in the woods in that spot. And, you know, I marked it out and figured out where I was in the woods, and then I left that spot. The next day, I walk in before daylight, I can't find that deer stand. I can't find it because everything looks different in the dark. Everything looks different. You lose your perspective. And even with a flashlight, you really can't see and get your bearings. So usually a lot of times when that happens, I stumble around the woods for an hour until daylight comes and I finally find out where I'm at and get to my tree stand. And then all the deer have already, I've scared them all up. anyway, but that's how it happens. Even after a lot of times I will harvest a deer just before the sun goes down. And on my way to the truck, it gets dark. And then when I go back to where the deer's supposed to be, I can't figure out where it is because I lost my bearings. Because things are different in the dark. Our perspective is different in the dark. Jesus wants us to walk in his light because he understands that before we were walking in darkness, and we would stumble around the woods of the light of life. Well, this concept of dark and light is also true in our spiritual perception. How we perceive our world will determine our thoughts and actions. Jesus doesn't want us stumbling through this world in the dark. He wants us to walk in His light so our thoughts and actions will be based on a clear view of our world. So let's take a look at this passage and see what it means to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Now, once again, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look at verse 8 again. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." First of all, I want us to understand walking in the light means asking the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the will of the Lord so you can please Him. Walking in the light means asking the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the will of the Lord so you can please Him. Now, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, He sends His Holy Spirit into your life to illuminate your world so He can help you navigate through life with a clear perception. If you talk to someone who has just become a Christian or remembers when they did become a Christian, they will tell you, "You know, it's amazing to me how I was seeing things in the world completely differently now. I had a different perspective on life and on what right and wrong was." And that is true. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and be our Lord and Savior, He changes our perspective by giving us His light, the light of His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit reveals and illuminates our world, and we start seeing things differently. Notice the phrase, finding out. Notice the phrase, finding out, in verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. This puts a responsibility on us to seek the Lord in prayer for His guidance. Gordon was giving us some scriptures to study for our prayer revival that we're going to have yesterday in our men's prayer breakfast. I'm so excited about our prayer revival. And one of the things that he mentioned was that it's our responsibility to study and ask the Lord to reveal what His will is for our lives, to reveal what He wants us to do, what pleases Him. And that is so true. And we see that right here in this passage of Scripture. We see that we're to find out what the will of the Lord is by seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That is what we're supposed to do. 1 John 2:27 says, "We're anointed with the Holy Spirit, and He is able to teach us all that we need to know." So you can go to the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit what it is He wants you to learn, and you can learn it. This is such an awesome thing for us to remember, that we as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a wonderful light available to us if we will just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us. His holy light will shine in our world and help us to make decisions and think in a way that's based on our perception in the light, not our perception in darkness. This is something that I hope we will remember. So walking in the light means being guided by the Holy Spirit to do what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, what does the Holy Spirit reveal to us? And what is it that makes it so illuminating? Well, first of all, it says goodness. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that He reveals to us, is goodness. Now, this is a revealing of those things that are beneficial to us. the revealing of things that are beneficial to us. So many people waste their lives doing stuff that's not really beneficial. You think about that. So many people, I had one guy call me up just this week, and he was giving me his testimony, and he said, I've wasted so much of my life. I've wasted so much of my life. How many people have that as their testimony? Well, I can tell you that one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do for you is reveal what's beneficial for you so you don't do that. So the works that you do are not futile. So that you can be illuminated into those things that are beneficial for you to do. And then what else does he reveal to us? He reveals righteousness. This is a revealing of right and wrong in all circumstances. So a lot of people, they make bad decisions because they can't discern what is right and what is wrong. Well, the Holy Spirit will guide you into what is right and what is wrong, and you can base every decision that you make based on clear evidence of what is right and what is wrong. And he will give you guidance. He'll illuminate you to these things. Before I became a Christian, some of the things that were wrong, I viewed as right. And it wasn't until after I accepted Christ as my Savior, I realized that those things were wrong. And I was ruining my life because I was doing stuff that I didn't think was wrong. And so we need to see that. And then finally, it says truth. Truth. This is a revealing of God's life principles and promises to us. A revealing of God's life principles and promises to us. A man called me this week, and he said he was a Christian. He had gotten saved, when he was five, and had been backslidden and away from the Lord for a long time. And he said he got right with the Lord, but now he feels dead inside. He got right with the Lord, but now he feels dead inside. Why do you think that was? Well, I'll tell you why, and this is what the Lord advised me to say to him. Your feelings, your thoughts, are not based on the truths in God's Word. Your feelings and thoughts are not being based on the promises that Jesus has made to you. You're a believer, yet your feelings aren't based on the truths of God's Word. If you're feeling dead inside, that goes against what God says he wants for you. Jesus says he wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. That's why he died on the cross for you. He wants you to have this joy and peace. So your feelings, your thoughts, are not based on the truth of God's Word. So many people, Christians, walk and live and think not based on what God has promised, what God has said, but by their circumstances around them, by the world that they live in. Instead of dwelling on truth, some people, some Christians are battling guilt. One person said to me this week, I'm dealing with a lot of guilt over something. And I said, well, let me ask you something. Jesus doesn't want you to have any guilt in your life. The Bible says that he wants you to have peace. That's the opposite of guilt. And he's forgiven you for that sin so that you don't have to have guilt in your life anymore. So where's the guilt coming from? It's not coming from the Lord. So why are you feeling that way? Maybe it's coming from your own sinful nature. Maybe it's coming from the devil. It's not coming from the Lord. So base your thoughts on the truth. You don't have to feel guilty because you've been forgiven. You don't have to feel guilty. Now, if you're feeling guilty and you haven't confessed a sin to the Lord, confess it to Him so you can be right with Him, and He will cleanse you of that, and you don't have to feel guilty anymore. So let's remember that. But the main point is this. We need to be basing our thoughts and actions on God's revealed truth to us. Not on our circumstances, not on how we feel, but on God's truth. Now, we need to walk in the light of truth. When we do, it's going to convert us. I can't stress this enough. God, when He establishes a relationship with you, it comes with transforming power. It comes with power that changes us from darkness to light. You notice what it says in that phrase. You were darkness, now you're light. There's a transformation that takes place when we do that. So many people think, as unbelievers, they look at their lives and they say, I cannot possibly see how my life could change, how things could get better for me. And they're down and they're discouraged. But I want you to know that Jesus has power to transform you. I'd like to read this illustration to you. Shauna Pilate's husband still wasn't home from his Saturday night partying. It was very common for Rick to be out all night. I always knew there was unfaithfulness, said Shauna, who was home with their 3-year-old son. That bothered me naturally, but I was also worried that Rick was going to turn up someplace dead. And that morning, I was at the end of my rope. As Shauna angrily washed the dishes in the kitchen, she noticed a man speaking on the television. He was funny and warm and seemed to be speaking to her. I felt something come over me that I can't explain, she remembers. I couldn't quit crying. At the end of the program, it said, join us. And it gave the name of the church in Winnipeg. I couldn't get my son dressed fast enough. On the way to the church, Shauna had one purpose in mind, getting emotionally strong enough to kick Rick out. But God had a surprise for her. At the end of the message, the pastor invited people to give their lives to Christ. Shauna raised her hand. 3 weeks later, Rick asked if he could join her at church. After 4 or 5 weeks of attending church with his wife, Rick recognized his need for Christ. Still, the following months weren't easy. I was going to church and wanting to do right, but I kept doing wrong, he said. It wasn't until a Promise Keeper seminar that I finally came to understand the importance of repentance and accepting the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. That day, Rick went home and told his wife, I can be the husband you need me to be now. Rick and Shauna's lives changed that day. They became active in their church and now serve as Promise Keepers volunteers who share the hope of God's restoration and forgiveness with struggling couples. When I think of how Jesus can change people, no matter how deep in sin they are, that overwhelms me. Rick says, if He did it for me and us, He can do it for anybody. That's what I want us to see here. I want us to see that Jesus can transform us. He can transform our lives. Your life may be a mess right now, and you can only see solutions to your problems that are based on your perception in the dark. But think for a moment. Isn't this your why your life is in a mess? Because of the decisions you've made in the dark? Think about it. Isn't your life a mess because of the decisions you've made in the dark? Are you going to continue to make those decisions made in the dark and continue your bad cycle of decisions? Where your life continues down the same road, one mess after another? No, don't do that. Trust in the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Let Him have your life so that He can change you and illuminate your way and help you make decisions based on the light instead of the darkness. That is what Jesus wants for you. Arise, those who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christian, don't live one moment without being guided by the light of the Holy Spirit. Every day, ask the Holy Spirit to guide your life. Walking in light is important. Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl. "Why," he exclaimed, "when I was a courtin', I never carried one of these things. I always went in the dark." "Yes," the hired man said wryly, "and look what you got." That's humor, by the way. That's humor. I'm kidding, okay? Anyway, don't make decisions in the dark. Don't make decisions in the dark. Okay, let's read verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Secondly, I want us to understand, walking in the light will make you a living witness to the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. Walking in the light will make you a living witness to the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. God uses our righteous living to expose and convict people of their sin. That's what this passage is telling us. God used someone like this in my life. Terry Miller, the man that I work with at Wickford Appliance, the man that led me to the Lord. God used Terry Miller to convict me of my sins. God used Terry to convict me of my drunkenness when Terry revealed to me that he did not drink because of his walk with Christ. It convicted me. I remember the conviction that came over me as I was exposed at that point. It was like someone had torn the roof off of my house and exposed my sin of drunkenness. That was my God. That's what I lived for. I was a weekend warrior, right? You know, that's what you live for, partying and getting drunk. But when Terry revealed his lifestyle to me, it convicted me. God used it to convict me. When we have no fellowship with the works that are futile, it shows the futility of people's lives. It shows the futility in others' lives. You notice what it says here, the unfruitful works of darkness. What's unfruitful mean? It doesn't have any benefit, right? So many people, they live their lives for stuff that's futile. Futile. And when we live our lives in righteousness, it exposes how futile their lives are. It exposes how futile their lives are. I think this is important for us to see. So many times we get discouraged by being around people that are living in darkness. But remember, where does God place the light? If you're the light, where does God place you? He'll place you in the darkness. One lady was asking her pastor. One young girl once consulted her minister and said, "I cannot stick it out any longer. I am the only Christian in the factory where I work. I get nothing but taunts and sneers. It is more than I can stand. I am going to resign." "Will you tell me," asked the minister, "where lights are placed?" "What has that to do with me?" the young Christian asked him, rather bluntly. "Never mind," the minister replied. "Answer my question. Where are lights placed?" "I suppose in dark places," she replied. "Yes, and that is why you have been put in that factory where there is such spiritual darkness and where there is no other Christian to shine for the Lord." The young Christian realized for the first time the opportunity that she had. Understand that. You know, sometimes we get discouraged because of the darkness that's around us. But remember, God has put you in this world to be a light in the darkness. So let's remember that. Let our actions speak of the grace of God. A lot of times, actions speak louder than words. And what this passage is telling us is our righteousness can be a witness more than our words can. As a matter of fact, if our actions don't match up with our words, then people won't take what we say seriously. Okay? So if we talk to them about this transforming Savior that we have, who forgives us of our sins and gives us power and strength in our life and helps us and guides us every day, and we act as though we have no guidance, we wallow in our sin, hey, that's not a very good witness. And we need to adjust it to match up with the truth of God's word. Now, finally, in verses 15 and 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now, finally, walking in the light will help you make the most of your life. Walking in the light will help you make the most of your life. Remember, when you walk in the light, the Holy Spirit reveals those activities that are futile and those that are beneficial. You know, when Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha, you remember that story where Mary had chosen to be with Jesus, and Martha, she was all bent out of shape because she was working in the kitchen, right, doing all the work, trying to prepare the meal for Jesus and the disciples, and Mary was just hanging out with Jesus. And Mary got upset, Martha got upset about that. But Jesus said to Martha, "Hey, Mary's doing something that's good. Mary's doing something that's good because I'm here. I'm here." Jesus, God, was with them. Now, fixing the meal was fine. But we need to remember that the Lord wants us to do what's most beneficial for us. And I think that's something that we forget sometimes. Our time is limited and uncertain, so we must make the most of the time we have. The Holy Spirit will help you adjust your priorities so you make the most of your time. Understand that. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you make the most of your time, and he will reveal what priorities you should have. The Holy Spirit will help you make your relationship with God number one in your life. He will. He will help you set aside time during the day to pray and read the Bible, to communicate with Him. The Holy Spirit will help you spend time with your family. He will help you. One of the things that was revealed to me was I need to spend some time with my kids. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, and I said, yeah, Monday night we do this, Tuesday night we do this, Wednesday night we do this, Thursday night we do this, Friday night we do this, Saturday night we do this, Sunday night we do this. He said, when do you spend time with your kids? I looked at Christy, I said, uh-oh. Right? Hey, the Holy Spirit put that on his heart to say to me, to reveal to me what I need to do to adjust my priorities so I make the most of my time. Do you understand that? That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He doesn't want us wasting our time. The Holy Spirit will help you serve God in His body, the church. Understand that. So many people don't see the importance of being in a body of Christ where they can serve. But I'm telling you, if we haven't learned anything through this study in Ephesians, it's that God wants us to spend our time operating in the body, the church of Jesus Christ, to serve Him. That is something very important to Him. And I promise you, if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal how He wants you to do that, He will. He will, and you will spend precious time doing the will of God. And you will please Him. That is what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in the light, to ask the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, to help us be a witness in this world and have our priorities in line so that we spend our time wisely. That is what He wants for us this morning. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Allowing Him to transform you from darkness to light? Have you, Christian, are you asking the Holy Spirit to lead you by His light? Are you? Are your priorities adjusted to where you're making the most of your time? Think about that for a minute.